Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys? How the hell are you? How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Coming to you today from Marconi House, of course, it is the number one best-selling author, Mark Meagan. You can't introduce yourself with that, but I've just never been able to say it out loud yet, so I just needed to say, nevertheless, someone's got a case of the neverthelesses. Guys, thank you so much to every single human who has bought a copy of This Is Not a Self-Help Book Yet. I cannot believe the response. I never went to university and I actually get to introduce myself to people now and say I'm a best-selling author. So that is just phenomenal, and I cannot thank you enough for your messages about the book. I have to be careful about opening my phone in public because some of the messages I get genuinely reduce me to tears. So I just sort of, yeah, if you've messaged me and you haven't heard back yet, give me some time. I'm getting through them, and I want to reply to everybody who has sent me something about the book. So thank you. If you haven't bought it yet, perhaps consider it. If you are now, consider like this podcast is essentially on tick. You're listening on tick. If you're enjoying the podcast, but you haven't bought the book, you are robbing an alcoholic blind. You know, you've got your hand in my spiritual pocket, as it were. Anyway, look, thank you all for the support. Thank you for listening to the podcast while I was away. It's great to be back. Look, let's just be clear. I went on probably the worst holiday I've ever been in my life. Okay. It was my fire fest. It was a complete and utter shit show. Portopenus, you know, let's be brutally honest. It's not really designed to be enjoyed without the sun. It's almost photosynthetic. It's in its existence. It like requires sunlight to be. Do you know what I mean? Went off to Malaga, what, like 2 weeks ago now? I had such high hopes. I stepped off the plane in Malaga Airport like Hyacinth Bouquet, you know, attending her first ever Chelsea Flower Show. And after 11 days of being assaulted by precipitation, I left Malaga resembling Onslow from Keeping Up Appearances, with an arse paler than Casper the Friendly Ghost after a fucking fainting fit, okay? To say that the holiday didn't go as planned would be like saying Amelia Earhart deviated just a smidgen from the directions given to her on Google Maps, okay? I've seen videos of Bangladeshi floods on Live Leak that aren't as severe as the rain we were met with in Marbella. It's, yeah, look, Portopenus without the rain. It's like a teenage disco without the creepy older DJ with the checkered past. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, those guys. Do you have those, Karen, growing up? Deeply concerning teenage disco guy who would always get in the microphone as well, you know? You go down to, like, the Christmas special when you were 15, 14 or 15, and it would be called, like, the Snowball or the Jingle Ball or something, you know? And then just as, like, Robbie Williams' Angels finishes, "All right, you boys and girls. Hello. All right, you ladies and gents. Just a reminder, we'll be back on St. Stephen's Day for our Boxing Day bumper disco. So just a big reminder to all you little girls and boys to come on down and dirty, and don't forget to get even with Stephen's." What does that mean? This next song goes out to a very special lady. Her name is Fawincha. She's the belle of a Christmas ball tonight, and I hope she'll be leaving a few more things than carrots out for Santi this evening. Sorry? Why do you have mistletoe on your belt, Eamon? The guards are outside. They'd like to have a word. This next song goes out to all the girls of our ladies' grove having a good old little giggle at Mark Meagan and his wee little wheely winky woo. Sorry? Who are you to judge anybody? How do you know about my small dick? You're 43. This is madness. Who are you to judge anybody? You've got a tattoo of your three daughters on your left forearm and then a mermaid with massive tits on your right. By the way, what's that about? Men getting tattoos of like sexy mermaids. What's that like? How would you even go about? The only reason you got this job as a DJ at a teenage disco is because you were deemed too much of a criminal to operate the Magic Mouse ride in Funderland, okay? And that's the game. Anyway, without any further ado, I've had bad holidays, you've had bad holidays. Now, first up, let's get into it. Let's start talking a little bit of bollocks, if you know what I mean. And we've got a very special guest opening up the show today. Let's go.
Yeah, so you can start my voice if you want, pal. I don't really give a bollocks, but couple of years ago, me and my missus and our ma went to Malta for a week. So her ma would be a very honest, straight and narrow, by the book kind of person. Type of person who would pay on the Lewis. I'm not one of them people. I'm a bit more loose than that. So
Would you say a bit more loose than that with the law? Is that what we're getting? You know, a bit more. It's not really open to interpretation, though, isn't it? There's no sort of like a la carte menu when it comes to the judicial system, is there? I'm a bit more loose than that. Yeah, very loose. Very. You flagrantly disregard the law by the sounds of things. Continue.
So we go to check into this hotel. We're checking into our room. I'm checking into our own room. The girl on reception says to us, oh yeah, so 1 week fully all inclusive. And I was like, yeah. Gets a dirty look from the mother-in-law because we weren't fully all-inclusive. Yeah, one made a mistake. But I wasn't going to turn that down. So milked it all-inclusive on the first day, milked it on the second day.
I love the way we've gone straight from enjoying the all-inclusive to milking it. You know what I mean? However, I will say that I'm completely with you on this. I don't know how people's where they sort of draw the line with morality in terms of like stealing. But I think if it's a massive hotel chain and they've made an error here, I think it's okay. What, Ciarán, are you with me against?
Oh, I'm with.
Yeah, you're with.
What's a few, Bob?
That, well, like, it is only, you're not necessarily taking out of anybody's pocket, are you? Like, just prove me wrong, please, if I am wrong. But you're not going into a corner store, you know, and going up to old Mr. McGullen's and putting your hand in his back pocket and stealing 4 Murray Mints out whilst having a fondle of his keister. Do you know what I mean? That'd be a totally different scenario. And I'll see you soon, Bernard. Okay, continue.
Second, I start to feel a bit dodgy. Fast forward a few hours, I am on the toilet, violently sick, coming out of both ends. And it was one of them bathrooms where you don't step into the shower, just around on the floor. So I'm sitting on the toilet and getting sick into the shower. So, yeah. Yeah, so moral of the story, went to Malta for 7 days, violently sick for 5 of them. And karma absolutely bit the bollocks on me.
I was really hoping that he'd have had a bad Indian, so I could say that sounds like terrible karma. Just, I think I've said that before in the podcast. Didn't get laughs then. Didn't get laughs today. Yeah, that is what you get. That is exactly what you get. What is it though about people when they get diarrhea that they have to say in this sort of murmur tone? They go, you ask somebody how sick they were and they go, oh, I was very sick last night. And you go, oh geez, vomiting bug, was it? Oh, well, I was actually, it was both ends. Thank you. Cheers for that, Karen. I'm going to go back to my desk now. Nice one though, for the image of you doing the downward facing dog, okay, and looking like the Trevi Fountain. Do you know what I mean? Or like a little Belgian boy, you know those Belgian boys with the piss if you've ever been to Brussels. Like, I don't need to know that you've been on all fours, okay, or slopped on the ground like the chalk of a corpse in an episode of CSI. You know, both ends. Both ends is the most visual way of describing diarrhea and a vomiting bug. Yeah, that is desperate though. Is it what you get? Do you deserve it? I don't think the crime necessarily suited the punishment. I still feel like you didn't do anything that badly. I don't know if you deserved it. Okay, on we go.
We went on a working holiday to Canada. And when we were there, we had to find an apartment to stay in. So we only had one. So we found this guy on Craigslist and we sent him $3,000 before we saw the apartment because he claimed he was this rich man, like coming from Michigan. He was doing us a favor because it was a really good deal. And his name was Wisdom. Anyway, a group of the girls pack up their suitcases and show up at the front door. And a family answer who have like a dog and they've lived in this apartment for like 4 years. And they're like, no, you must have been scammed, sorry. Like, so they just walk away from the family. And we were so broke, but we couldn't afford a new place. Wisdom, whoever this man was, had all our money. So then 9 of us shared a 2-bed apartment for like 3 months where we'd sleep like 3 in a double bed. And other people on these leather sofas with the spare sheets we had.
Can I just ask you, how many Nigerian princes have you given money to over the years? Come on. A guy called Wisdom. There's your Craigslist. $3,000. What was the excuse he gave for not showing? Oh no, I don't have any pictures, but I swear it's big. I've been doing the same with my penis for years. Do you know what I mean? You just, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. But like, this is, how naive do you have to be? You obviously fall for those texts on WhatsApp. You know the ones you get from like your auntie every 4 months. Whatever you do, do not click into a message on WhatsApp tomorrow of a video called Oyster Chocolate Fandango. It is a virus and it will get through your phone and it will open all the apps. No, it won't, Bernadette. It has never happened ever, okay? The same sort of people that write caps lock, you know, on Facebook. This
is an announcement to Mark Zuckerberg. My pictures are my own. Brilliant. Nobody wants to see your fucking niece's christening, Catherine, okay? Nobody wants to see your horrendously poor photos of a sunrise in the Phoenix Park, okay, Denise? Nobody wants them. You can keep them. Yeah, okay, I feel for you, but I think that's what you get. It's a lesson. It's like when my brother tried to buy a PlayStation off a guy on Dundee, and he got it, and the guy was like, he asked him, we were like 13 or 14, and he goes to the guy, does it work? The guy said yes. That was his version of a receipt. The guy said yes, it worked. We got home and he plugged it in. He had actually been given a toaster. You know, this is sort of, we all have to get scammed in life. We all have to get bitten. It happens to the best of us, and I think you just have to roll with it. 9 people in a 2-bed apartment. Yeah, shocking. Shocking. You imagine the smells, especially with the beer pong and the red cups and the Asher Roth I Love College blaring out of the eye station. Fair play for surviving it. I'm hoping it made a man or a woman out of you.
So this was a couple of years back, and I had gone to Australia, which is quite expensive. So I had decided to stay in a hostel to try and save money. And one of the other guests there was took a shine to me. And she used to sit outside my dorm room and cut pieces of her hair off and leave them outside along with her toothbrush as mementos of herself, which was pretty creepy. God love her, but it was not a risk I was willing to take, so I changed hostels pretty quickly after that.
Okay, this, I actually have a bit of form with situations like this. This really reminds me of like when I go to a wedding, okay? I don't know if you ever do this, Kieran, but if you're ever at a, if you ever have to go to a wedding and you don't know anybody there, right? And you're like a bit socially anxious. So at the beginning, you sort of seek out somebody else who's like peculiar and alone. Yeah. And you get chatting to them, right? And you find some common ground. Like he'll say something like, oh, are you a fan of Breaking Bad? And you say, well, I haven't actually seen it, but you know, you give it, you say, yeah, Bryan Cranston's great. And then, but you're happy to talk to anybody because you need to talk to somebody, so you just make friends with them and then that's fine. But like 45 minutes later, you're relaxed now and you're not imprisoned any longer by your own thoughts, and you're actually able to just to enjoy the day, and you make friends with normal people. And then like you're looking at the table plan and he comes up and goes, oh, did you know that Neo on the Matrix? No. It's over, bro. It's over. I don't need you anymore. I'm sorry, but this is what... I've moved on now. I'm climbing, baby. I've graduated from the complete loon table to cousins from America. That's where I am at the wedding social pecking order. I'm making my way in, baby, right to the nucleus. I'll be on that fucking dance floor by midnight, you know? Do you ever do, you know, you have to be so careful whenever you get a new job or wherever you do. Don't make friends in the first week. Give it time. I've said this before about a different podcast about holidays. Don't make friends in the first night of a holiday. If you get talking to a random couple, wait for a few days. Assess the lay of the land. You don't want to commit too early, because you go to a wedding, you get chatting to a guy outside earlier on, and then he doesn't leave you alone. He comes up and starts telling you the history of vapes. Leave me alone, cyborg. I've moved on from you now. Yeah, cutting clumps of your hair out. I mean, shocking. So I'm glad you moved hostel. Moving on.
Hi, Mark. So to start off, we met a stag in Liverpool. The lads wanted to play a prank on one man, saying that I went off them in Flannery's years ago, which was how we ended up staying with the stag for the night. Firstly, I ended up getting with a silver fox who was about 55. He ended up getting arrested. Following that, I got with another man from the stag party, went back to the hotel, and then found out the next morning he was actually the groom. Was pleasantly surprised then when we saw them behind us on our Ryanair flight home. So yeah, it was an eventful holiday, and that man has now been married since.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
You're like Kate Beckinsale in Pearl Harbor. A good man goes down and then you move on to the second one. Only joking, fair play. It's a free country, by the way. It's a bloody free country. Let's just go back to the silver fox for a second. First things first, I just got back from Port Banus, as some of you will know. And if you, do you ever see like an older man on a stag? and he's trying to keep up with the younger lads. There's just like an undercurrent of panic in his eyes as they make their way down, like, you know, the street. You know that he wants to keep up with the lads. Like, he desperately wants to be part of youth, you know, and he's hoping he can stay sort of conscious long enough into the evening in the hopes that he might get to join them when they go to the strip club, you know, just for a look. You know, he hasn't been out on the ale since 2016 when Charlton got to the Premier fucking League final or whatever. Good stuff, football knowledge. He really ultimately just wants to go back to the travel lodge, you know, and text his wife, maybe have a glass of whiskey and, you know, forward problematic memes into his family WhatsApp group. I love older guys on stags. However, this Silver Fox, he interests me, okay? Was he arrested for something that he did on the stag, okay? And if so, why haven't you mentioned the crime? Why? What was so heinous about it that you're... Heinous? What was so heinous about it that you're afraid to mention it in the podcast? Or do his transgressions run a little bit deeper than that, okay? And had the police been trailing him for weeks and then they finally saw him dancing on the dance floor with you, listening to something like Señorita or Usher and, you know, going, now's the time to strike. And they spit out their peanuts from the... What's the car that they'd be driving in a stakeout in American movies?
Chevrolet.
Is it a Chevy? Is it a Chevrolet?
Yeah.
On the way to the levee. Brilliant, Don McLean. Let's move on to the crux of this deceit, though. You then slept with the guy who is the groom. That's obviously not your problem. You're entitled to sleep with whoever you want. I question the groom. I wonder how many guys do this. Like, is it really common? What do you think? Kieran's getting married this year as well. Congratulations, Kieran.
Thank you.
Do you think that happens very often?
You'd like to think not.
Yeah, you'd like
to think there's gentlemen in this world.
Yeah, you'd like to think there are people who are getting married and committing. Ooh, look at us sanctimonious legends. But you'd like to think that there are some men in the world who are getting married who aren't going to sleep with strangers after they've slept with their friends on their stags. Anyway, there you go. I like the way you refer to Ryanair as Ryan full stop space air, by the way, as if they're like it's an individual's first name.
On our Ryanair flight home.
Now, just to let you know, by the way, obviously there's lots of light stories here. This next clip is genuinely very serious, but I wanted to include it just because it is fascinating to me.
Hi, Mark. Flew to Langkawi, Christmas 2004, for a nice, relaxing Christmas break. Woke up on Stephen's Day, got hit by a tsunami, as you do. Hotel beside us destroyed, ours pretty bad. That night... No fish on the menu because the fishermen's boats were all broken up. So next day, flew home.
Like, that is genuinely insane. I googled this whenever that voice came in. Do you know how many people died in the 2004 tsunami?
One.
Guess.
200,000.
Okay, that's pretty dead on the money, to be honest. Damn. That is so annoying. It's like when you say to somebody, oh, guess how much this jacket was? And they go, €4. Of course it wasn't €4. Now you've just ruined it. But anyway, yeah, 230,000.
Wow.
Like, that is astonishing amount of loss. Okay, second question for anybody on the podcast who listens, just because it's come to me now. If anybody can answer this for me, I will be forever in your debt. How come when there's a plane crash, okay, they refer to souls on board? Why don't they say, oh, 700 people died? Why is it always 450 souls? No amount of Googling has answered this for me. So if anybody listening has some insight, please, please let me know. Anyway, my good friend Brian, who submitted this about the tsunami, that's just incredible. Those sort of like brushes with fate, they're bizarre. Obviously, I'm very glad he made it home safe and sound. He unlikely would have if he had stayed any days longer. Like, it's crazy. Do you ever think about that? Like, do you ever think about... Have you ever been standing at a traffic pedestrian crossing beside a murderer who's like killed somebody in the last week? They're the thoughts that occupy the fortress of my mind. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Just how close we could have come without realising. 230,000 people. That was only a couple of years after 9/11. Well, it was three years after 9/11. But Christmas 2004. I remember that because my granddad died that Christmas, on Christmas Day. Would you believe? Noel, his name was as well. And so we were all so consumed with the family death that we didn't really realise just how bad the tsunami was. And I remember coming up for air, as it were, a few months later and reading like, holy shit, that was mental. 230,000 people. Like, imagine that happening anywhere in the Western world. It is a lot. So now after that, we're going to go straight to the poo-poo-poo bum-bum-willy section. No, we're not. We're going to... Oh, no, this next one's sad as well, is it? No, it's not. Okay, moving on.
Hey, Mark. So I was in Naples Airport on the layover and they kept delaying my flight. So I was there for probably like 8-ish hours and they wouldn't let anyone go back through passport control to go to all the shops and stuff. So the only vending machine that was in the area just had condoms, lube and dildos and no water. And they only gave us water maybe 7 hours into the waiting there. And it was absolutely outrageous.
Sorry, like... The only thing available in the vending machine was dildos. So you've now got, in the Naples airport, a sea of dehydrated South Dubliners, okay? Just back from their holidays on the Amalfi Coast, desperately sucking dildos in the hopes that there might be some liquid in them. This is totally, come on, Liam. The dad squeezing the dildo. Like he's wringing out a cloth. There's just nothing left in it, Helen, I swear. Desperately trying to cling on to his heterosexuality. Do you know what I mean? This image of like South Dublin jocks having to make the decision, their own Sophie's choice of licking a dildo to get the liquid from it, okay? Or just dying of thirst. And then like wanting to lick it, but do it in a straight way. You know, like those, you know, like men that put on sun cream, but they're afraid to put sun cream on their friend in case it looks too homoerotic. So they're like slap it on their back. Have you ever seen, what is that like? We get it, bro. You don't like willies. Like, you know what I mean? Nobody cares. Like, like they're punishing the thing. This is my favourite image in the world. How could there be a vending machine with only lube and dildos? Come on now, Ailish, finish your lube. Mum, I'm so thirsty. Finish your lube. I just love like trying to ration with the sort of disinterested Italian security guard at passport control. Please, can we have some water? No. Please, like, all we have is dildos and lube. You simply must provide us some water. No, I wait there 7 hours. Nevertheless.
So this can basically only be described as a series of unfortunate events. About 18 months ago, my partner and I booked to go to Dominican Republic with our 6-year-old and our 5-month-old baby. So after the most horrendous 12-hour flight, we finally get there to find out that the airline has actually left the buggy in Paris. Anyway, we got into the taxi to go to the hotel, which was like being in a Fast and Furious film. Make it there, spend the first day in the clouds with a cranky baby who has no pram to go to sleep in. Next day comes, pram arrives, all good. We're like, this is great, holiday can begin. Letter goes under the door of our hotel room to say that there is a hurricane coming and if we leave the room, we will be arrested. Not going to lie, really didn't think much of this. Just decided to drink all the extra drink that they put in the mini bar and go to bed. I wake up a few hours later into what can only be described as being inside a tumble dryer with lightning going off the works. So obviously I've drank all the stuff out of the minibar, nature calls. I decide to try turn on the light and go to the toilet, only to find out that electricity's gone. So I turn the light on my phone and in front of me, all I can see is my flip-flops floating around the bedroom in about 2 foot of water and all our stuff in our suitcases on the ground being submerged. So yeah. This went on for another 3 days. We were in various other hotel rooms. They all flooded as well. And then eventually the storm passed and safe to say I won't be returning again.
Yeah, that's mental. That is absolutely mental. I was waiting whenever she said she woke up in the middle of the night and then she turned the light on. I think I'm so scarred from all of the sort of responses that we've received in various roasts thus far that I was waiting for it to be like, and then the concierge was standing there with his willy out. Do you know what I mean? Or there were 17 poos floating. Like, I was waiting for something much worse than a Haviana. You know what I mean? But that's shocking. Fair play for surviving it. Friends of ours just got back from the Dominican Republic and they said they had a fabulous time, if that's any kind. Do you ever get that? Do you ever get that when somebody just completely nullifies you? You tell them a story like, oh, I was in Seville in 2013 and I got shocking food poisoning. And then they're like, oh, Eamon and Claire went there a month ago. They loved it. Good stuff. Moving on. I've received a voice note that is so good. This guy, we're going to call him Chris, has sent in a series of voice notes outlining what happened to him when he went to Cambodia. Normally, we don't play voice notes that are this long. However, this guy has, he should have his own podcast. This story is phenomenal. You may be familiar with the Koh Samui Cup, Rock Boys Are We story. The Rock Boys are, the Koh Samui Cup walked so this guy could run, you know? No, the Koh Samui Cup walked so this guy could waltz. This is a absolute linguistic aural treat and I hope you enjoy it. Let's go, Chris Cambodia, ceiling fan. Feast your ears on this.
Right. So in 2017, we were on a trip in Cambodia and you can go to any of the bars and you can plug in your phone and the aux cord. Those were the days. And you could put on your own playlist. So, of course, whenever the Benny Hill theme tune came on from Shuffle, I'd have to get down to my boxers and run around the bar. Great fun. Insert the music here for a bit of background music. First night, six bars, excellent fun, hilarious. Day two, first two bars, it's good fun, but it's clearly lost its appeal a little bit. So, you know, I figure I need to jazz this up, you know, add a little showmanship. So we get to the third bar, get on the bar. Excellent, we're back.
There's nothing quite like hearing a South Dublin accent say we're back. And we go.
Where the crowd are up, they're having a great time. This is hilarious. We get to the fourth bar. The fourth bar we get to has a stripper pole attached to the bar to the ceiling. And I have this Oppenheimer moment, this Road to Damascus moment. I need to get up on the bar and dance on this stripper pole. And I cling to this thing. It was skin on metal. There was no taking me off it. And I start climbing it like a fireman's pole in reverse. I get to the ceiling. This is fantastic. I have a view of the bar. The world is my oyster. And like any good stripper that wants to earn a bit of cash, I lean back, let my hair flow backwards. At which point, I don't know how familiar you or your listeners would be with Cambodia building laws, but...
Is that a bit of shade? I fucking hope it's not. Let's go.
The ceiling fan came around and it was a bit of a collision of the unwilling. I was left pretty dazed. So the only thing keeping me suspended in the air was the fact that I had bare thighs on this metal pole as I'm left dangling in the air. I slowly drift down to the bar. At this point now, I do land on my feet very slowly. I look like Wilson out of Castaway in so much as there's now blood dripping all down my face and my body. I'm helped down by two ex-British soldiers who are on the tour. But thankfully, an accountant friend of mine had just passed a first aid course, so he took charge of the situation. Two women that I learned later on were usually used to doing the exact opposite, but they helped me put my clothes back on. We went out onto the street and we tried to get to the hospital, get a tuk-tuk driver to take us to the hospital, at which point we were informed that the hospital was 40 minutes away and no. We were told, doctor, no close, vet much closer. So we said, fuck it, let's go. So we hop in the tuk-tuk. He brings us to the streets of Phnom Penh. And we get to this clinic. Pictures of cats and dogs all over the windows. Go into the surgery. It's like something out of Soviet Russia. Big, bright lights. There's a doctor and a nurse there. They've moved the black Labrador they were doing surgery on off to the left, still sedated. They put me on the table, local anaesthesia into the forehead. About 10 or 11 stitches, get done up, and, you know, keep your receipts, no need, $40, local anaesthesia, antibiotics and painkillers, absolutely fantastic, and back out we went, back to the bar, got a free pint, let the ladies know that I was okay, and the night went on.
That's magnificent, it's a tour de force. Ciarán, talk to me.
I
just absolutely adore every single second of that. That was an aural massage. Thank you very much, Chris. Guys, it's that time of the podcast, but fortunately, most of the content today is not about bums. So we're actually going to temporarily rename this section of the podcast from the Willy Willy Bum Bum section to the much more sophisticated, the much more mature, the much more refined Willy Willy Cock Cock section, okay? So Ciarán came up with that in the Lewis this morning, didn't he? And he was kicked off in the end for breastfeed. No, I was trying to combine two jokes at once. I remember I got in trouble. I tweeted this back in like 2013. Oh, I got so, people got so angry. I just tweeted going, just saw a woman getting kicked off the Lewis for breastfeeding at Ballally. Absolutely disgraceful. And then like loads of people started writing back going, oh my God, name and shame, where was this, whatever. And I wrote back going, I know, like I was thirsty, chill. And the fucking anger from people. Genuinely the anger. It was, nevertheless. Somebody wrote to me last night going, if you say nevertheless one more time, I'm going to stop listening to your podcast. So anyway, it's the Willy Willy Cock Cock section. Let's go.
So myself and my friend were staying in a hostel in Edinburgh the summer of first year in college for a couple of nights when we got there. And we were in a room with four sets of bunks, and I was in the bottom bunk, and then there was this guy in the top bunk, and it became apparent after a little while that he started to do the old one-handed tango and had a little bit of fun with himself. It was horrifically bad. I never wanted anything to end so quickly in all my life. And the next morning he proceeded to ask my friend out before I got to tell her what kind of a dog he was.
Like, look guys, as often is the case with society, when you put a certain number of people together in the same place at the same time, okay, one of them will invariably be like a life coach or something, and one of them will be a man who takes his penis out. It's just a disheartening fact about life, isn't it? That statistic. I find it strange. Like, we got lots of voice notes about this, or lots of messages about hostels, and how every time one of them would be a man masturbating. I did get one from a woman, and she didn't reply when I asked her for the voice note, but she just sent in a text message, and she said she was sleeping in a hostel. There was a couple in the bunk, you know, across the hall from her, and they were having sex, and she asked them to be quiet, and they just kept having sex. And she said, even when I made eye contact with them and said, please will you stop, they wouldn't stop. So she then said, I ended up just putting my headphones in and praying for him to come. Which is just unbelievable. And also one-handed tango. If the one-handed tango is actually a legitimate discipline, I have a chance of winning Dancing with the Stars. Brilliant. Good stuff, Mark. Okay, let's just keep going.
When I was like 17, I went, decided last minute to go to the Galway races, and all my mates already had accommodation booked, so I only could find a bed in a hostel in the middle of Air Square, which sent me back like 50 or 60 quid for the night. Anyway, came back in at like 3 a.m. or whatever, fell asleep, and then woke up maybe a couple of hours later, just a sound of like someone slapping, and I kind of just turned over in the bed. I was in the top bunk and looked over at one of the bunks across the room from me, and there was a couple just having sex. Looked like a rotisserie chicken, whatever way they were angled. I think they were going to doggy style. I don't know if that's too much information anyway, but I just turned over in the bed and just tried not to laugh and tried to fall back asleep. So yeah, absolutely disgusting, but hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, you definitely turned over to go to sleep and tried not to laugh. You know you were 17 anyway. Like, if it was another hostel, Jesus, you'd be trousers down getting involved, I'd say, given the stories people have said. Not me speaking from experience, okay? Let's not get it twisted. Yeah, brilliant. Rotisserie chicken. Would that look like a rotisserie chicken? I mean, I just don't know how people are so comfortable to have sex like this. Is that what they're getting off on? A friend of mine was in Vegas years ago. This is, by the way, 100% true, okay? A friend of mine was in Vegas. I was in LA at the time. It's actually right about it in my book. I don't write about this part, though. But I was in Los Angeles. My friend went down to Vegas. He, I shit you not, was gambling in some at some point in one of the casinos there. And this guy came up literally and was like, how are you? There's my wife is over there. We find you very attractive. Would you be interested in coming upstairs with us? And he said yes. And he went upstairs and he had sex with the person's wife. And your man sat in the corner of the room fondling himself.
What?
Yeah.
Just sat there watching.
He wanted to watch my friend. He'd like, there's this thing where the guy gets off on watching the woman have sex with another. To say that's my worst nightmare. Loose is the understatement of the century, man. Like, that is, I've had bad dreams that like end in that scenario. You've been forced It's like that old rumour about, I can't say more, but apparently there's a very famous international sports star, and him and his wife were, I suppose it's swinging, but like, they used to just, she used to have sex with another very famous sports star while the first guy watched. Isn't that sad? Yeah. I think they call it the last pump, but brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. No, we can't descend. We shall not descend. Moving on, my friend. So this story came in and it's titled The Bathhouse. And okay, let's just play it and we can get to it afterwards.
A few years ago, I went on a last trip to Amsterdam and got pretty pissed. Ended up in a gay bathhouse at like 4 a.m. Lost my phone before I had a chance to put it in the locker. Went up to the guy at the reception, asked him, did he find the phone? And he said he did. And it was my phone, thank God. Decided not to put it in the locker in case it got robbed and in case I lost it again. So I decided to keep the phone with me while I went off and had sex with guys. But didn't realise that I had bum called my mother, which is probably an appropriate term to use in this scenario. And I'm not sure to this day what she heard. But I do know that the next day she didn't answer my calls for a while. So I got super paranoid about it. And we have never spoken of it since. So who knows what you heard. She did answer the phone call because the conversation went on for a minute. So I've no idea.
Okay, first things first. Gay bathhouse. At what point do they just call them sex houses? Nobody is going in there for a quick bath. Do you know what I mean? No, just heading down to Boots at 4 a.m. Really? Yeah, they've got a sale on Radox. Me and the lads are going to nip into the bathhouse for a quick soak. Do you know what I mean? It's just calling it a sex house. No, oh, you're going for a bath, are you? At 11 o'clock at night in Temple Bar, wearing aftershave with an erection. Do you know? Sure. Just heading off to the midnight sauna place. You're going for a sauna in Hackney Wick and just after midnight. The one that operates below the place with red light bulbs and the door that's just those strings of beads. Those places are perverted, aren't they? Places that have strings of beads as doors. Any bit, this is it. Okay, we've arrived at the realisation now. Any business that has a door with just beads is guaranteed to be a proprietor of perversion. That's a fact. They're either going to sell Slipknot hoodies or sex toys or incense or vapes. There's just perverts. Beads. And the way you don't know whether to use your hands or just walk into them face first like it's a hologram. You know those bead doors?
I was in a Chinese last week with them.
Oh. Go on, the Chinese. They're always getting done dirty, the Chinese. Anyway, yeah, like, just call it a sex house. It's not a bathhouse. Or maybe it is. But then, do you have sex in the bath? Because having sex in the bath, let's be honest, is not erotic. I would imagine. Ooh, the stumble. The stumble. Yeah, look. Okay, so he goes to the gay bathhouse, slips off from the lads on the stag. That's great. Loses his phone and then finds the phone and then bum dial is the wrong choice of words. Come on, man. Come on. That's like the way my own mother, by the way, she uses, this is a true 100% hand on heart true story. She uses the term jizz to describe places that are exciting.
Oh, no.
It's desperate. Oh, and how was Saturday? Oh, it was lovely. So I met Anita and Rodrigo and we went out for a few drinks. But then we went into this place off South William Street and there just wasn't enough jizz. So we went off and you're like, good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, so we pocket dials the mum, bum dials the mum rather. And 1 minute, that is a nerve wracking amount of time for her to have been listening in. And also for her not to have hung up. You know, surely there's an obligation there for her. If she answers the phone, she's like, hello, Joseph? And then she hears whatever might have been ensuing in the background. Oh, Lord. Well, I love that. Just call it a sex house. Moving on, it's the final voice note. And what better way to leave you and to depart with, this isn't quite the Willy Willy Cock Cock section. Let's just call it, this is a nice segue back from Willy's. This is like a halfway house from penises to not penises, okay? Again, as often is the case with this podcast, there's just too many penises, but let's go.
So the worst holiday I had was when a transvestite on rollerblades shoved a banana in my dad's mouth.
Sorry. The worst memory... When a transvestite on rollerblades shoved a banana in my dad's mouth. And the Belfast accent makes it so much better. I think that's Belfast. Like, I think, you know what? There's something so good about the fact that she doesn't say, like, down his throat. There's nothing sexual about it. It's just, like, in his mouth, like it's a toothbrush or something. Okay, let's hear the rest of this.
I'm still pretty traumatized by it, to be honest. Like, it's not really something you want to see happen to your dad. I was only 4 or 5 when it happened, so I texted my family there to try and clear up the details. So I've said, remember in Holiday in 1999 when a transvestite on rollerblades shoved a banana in dad's mouth? What's the full story there? My dad replied, he said, we were walking down the strip and he rolled over to me and stuck it in my mouth.
Brilliant, brilliant response from dad, by the way. Basically, next to the thumbs up, like, your dad just confirms that it did happen.
You were terrified and cried a lot. My mom's also replied, it was the same holiday you rode a mechanical tiger.
Okay, forget the tiger. So a transvestite on rollerblades shoves a banana in your father's mouth. Outrageous bananas. Like, I just... Oh no, there comes Cabra Streisand. Watch out, she's got bananas in her hands. And she's going wheelie fast. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Thank you so much for listening to The Weekly Roast. Really appreciate it, guys. I feel very, very happy to be back in the seat talking to you every week. I missed you while I was away. So I hope you're doing good. I hope you had a lovely Easter. I hope you had a lovely break if you were off work. If you weren't, I hope you survived it. Guys, thank you from the bottom of my heart for the support with the book. If you're still on the fence about buying the book, please come down off those fences as the Eagle sang in Desperado. It's an enormous part of me, and if you're enjoying the podcast, I would really, really appreciate it if you'd pick up a copy. I genuinely cannot believe that it's been the number one bestseller in nonfiction. So I'm just, yeah, I thank you. Genuinely, it's enormously touching and heartwarming and uplifting and all the rest. But look, on we go. All we have is today. Just going to keep going. So thank you. And thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you're well. Send me in any thoughts, suggestions, ideas, whatever you want, via voice note, via message, and we will put it in the show. All the best. Take care of yourselves. Chat to you soon.